Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Struggling here. It's very smoky. Look, I'm not struggling like the people who are actually having their houses burnt down or, out there fighting the fires or anything like that. But it's very smoky. Apparently it's the worst today today in Melbourne than it's been. And it is making my throat a bit messed up and finding it like I'm talking. It's all gravelly from the smoke, and I've been clearing my throat a lot. Maybe it's not even smoke related, but I don't know, I'm pretty sure it is. And I've been short of breath a lot. A lot of people have been saying, you know, make sure you got an asthma puffer nearby and all this. It's pretty grim. It's not cool. Anyway, part 6, chapter 18 of Anna Karenina. Was Dolly hoping for a D&M with Anna? Bit of a nothing chapter yesterday and the day before. And as evident by my discussion prompts being not exactly inspired. D&M. This I found funny. Swim said the mama fishy said, I, for one, had to look up D&M. Let's guess which is the correct acronym defined for D&M. Detection and monitoring, development and management, design and modelling, deep and meaningful, drilling and measurement, dressed and matched. It is in there somewhere. I meant deep and meaningful. So you did get it. You got there. But I suppose I didn't realise that that was must be more common slang where I am. I don't think it's exclusive to Australia or to Melbourne, D&M, but it's very common. I think you could say we were having a D&M to anyone in my neck of the woods, and they'd know what you mean. Having a deep and meaningful. Getting all deep. Having a conversation which is below the surface level. Not just pleasantries and stuff. You're really getting deep. And it seemed like that's what Dolly was hoping for. Not the best discussion prompt I've ever given. I am Norwegian said, Anna and Vronsky have somehow managed to crawl out of their hole. I hadn't expected that at all. Wonder if she has any contact with her children. She seems very happy wherever she's been, whatever she's been doing. Oh my god. Hiccups. Chauvelette says, hi, I got started on the book late, and then it took longer than expected to catch up. Life kept getting in the way, but I am finally caught up 75% of the way through the book. Better late than never. Hey, Chauvelette, I'm not sure if you've been part of the conversation before with previous books or not, but welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the daily discussions. It's awesome that you caught up. Still, 75% of the book is done, but there's still a quarter left, and it's a pretty big book, so you've still got a good, I don't know, 2 months or a month and a bit to hang out with us and contribute. So welcome to the fold. So far, Levin is my favorite character, says Chauvelette. He seems intelligent and socially awkward, even to the point of boorishness, and I empathize with him a lot. For example, recently when he overreacted and kicked Veselovsky out of the house, I can almost see myself doing that. When someone annoys me, I often bottle it up until I reach the breaking point, and then the temptation to lash out is strong. I hope his relationship with Kitty turns out all right. It seems after he idolized marriage so much, it is turning out a bit different than he expected. For this chapter, I think it is interesting to see Dolly being understanding of Anna's infidelity at a time when most of the society rejects her, saying, I don't take any view, I always loved you, and if one loves the whole person as he or she is and not as one might wish them to be. Dolly knows what it is like to be the one who is cheated on. She forgave her own spouse under Anna's persuasion, and now she is ready to forgive Anna as well. I have to say, Dolly is much more forgiving than I would be. From the start, Anna suggesting that Dolly forgives Stepan really got on my nerves. I thought Anna should have chewed out her brother rather than petitioning his wife to give him forgiveness he didn't deserve. Very well said. I suppose she must be a very forgiving person, Dolly, hey? Which hadn't really occurred to me until your comment, Charlotte. But the characters and their traits aren't as in sharpest focus as they were by, you know, the midway point of War and Peace. If you were to ask me who was the most forgiving character in War and Peace, I would say Maya, easily. Bolkonski. And likewise with sort of any character trait, they all had their traits and was very clear in focus, whereas this book, not as much. I don't know if it's, it might be me, it might be me just not reading as carefully or not taking as much of an interest in the book, or it could be the book itself. It's hard to say, isn't it? But they are starting to come into focus a little bit, especially with comments like that. Chapter 19 goes like this. Left alone, Dolly surveyed the room with a housewife's eye. All she saw when driving up to the house and passing through it and now in her room gave her the impression of abundance and elegance and of that novel European luxury which she had read about in English novels, but had never seen yet in Russia, in the country. Everything was new, from the new French wallpapers to the carpet which covered the whole floor. The bed had a spring and an overlay mattress with a specially shaped bolster and small pillows with silk slips. The marble washstand, the dressing table, the couch, the tables, the bronze clock on the mantelpiece, the curtains, the door hangings were all costly and new. The smart lady's maid, with hair stylishly done and wearing a dress more fashionable than Dolly's, who came to offer her services, was as new and expensive as everything else in the room. Dolly found her politeness, tidiness, and attention pleasant, but did not feel at ease with her. She was ashamed to let her see that patched dressing jacket, which, as ill luck would have it, she had brought by mistake. She was ashamed of the very patches and darns on which she at home prided herself. At home it was clear that six jackets required 24 arshins of nainsook at 65 kopecks, which comes to more than 15 rubles besides the trimmings and the work, and she had saved all that. But before the maid, she felt not exactly ashamed, but uncomfortable. Dolly felt much relieved when Anushka, whom she had known a long time, came into the room with Smart. The smart maid had to go to her mistress, and Anushka remained with Dolly. Anushka was evidently very pleased that the lady had come and chatted incessantly. Dolly noticed that she wanted to express her opinion of the mistress's position and especially of the Count's love of the devotion and devotion to Anna. But Dolly carefully stopped her whenever she began to speak about that subject. I grew up with Anna Arkadyevna. She is dearer to me than anything. Is it for us to judge, and how he seems to love? Well then, have this washed if possible, interrupted Dolly. Yes, ma'am. We have two women always specially kept for washing small things, and the clothes are all done with a machine. The Count goes into everything himself. What a husband. Dolly was glad when Anna came in and thereby put an end to Anushka's chatter. Anna had changed into a very simple lawn dress. Dolly looked carefully at this simple dress. She knew what such simplicity meant and cost. An old acquaintance, said Anna, pointing to Anushka. Anna was now no longer embarrassed, she was free and at her ease. Dolly saw that she had quite got over the impression produced by her arrival and had adopted a superficial tone of equanimity which seemed to close the door that led to the compartment where her feelings and intimate thoughts were kept. Well, and how is your little girl, Anna? Asked Dolly. Annie, so she called her daughter Anna. Quite well, greatly improved. Would you like to see her? Come, I'll show her to you. I've had such trouble with the nurses, she began. We had an Italian wet nurse for her, good but so stupid. We wanted to send her back, but the child is so used to her that we are still keeping her. Well, and how have you arranged, Dolly began, meaning to ask what name the little girl would bear, but seeing a sudden frown on Anna's face, she changed her question and said, how have you arranged? Have you already weaned her? But Anna had understood. This is not what you were going to ask. You wished to ask about her name. Am I not right? It troubles Alexis. She has no name. That is, her name is Karenina, said Anna, screwing up her eyes till only the meeting lashes could be seen. However, we will talk about all that later, she said, suddenly brightening. Come, I will show her to you. Elle est très gentille and can crawl already. She is very sweet. In the nursery, the luxury noticeable in the rest of the house struck Dolly still more strongly. Here were perambulators ordered from England, an apparatus to teach a baby to walk, a specially constructed piece of furniture like a billiard table for the baby to crawl on, swings and baths of a new special kind. All these were English, strongly made, good quality, and evidently very expensive. The room was large, very lofty and light. When they entered, the little girl was sitting in her chemise in a little armchair at the table, having her dinner of broth, which she was spilling all over her little chest. A Russian nursemaid was feeding the child, and evidently herself eating also. Neither the wet nurse nor the head nurse were to be seen. They were in the next room, where one could hear them, talking in peculiar French, the only tongue in which they could converse. On hearing Anna's voice, a smart, tall English woman with an unpleasant face and an impure look came into the room, rapidly shaking her fair curls, and at once began excusing herself, though Anna had not accused her of anything. To each word of Anna's, the Englishwoman quickly repeated, "Yes, my lady," several times. The dark brown, dark-haired, rosy little girl with her firm, ruddy little body covered with goose flesh pleased Dolly very much, despite the severe expression with which she regarded the new visitor. She even felt a little envious of the child's healthy appearance. The way the little girl crawled also greatly pleased Dolly. Not one of her children crawled like that. The baby looked wonderfully sweet when she was put down on the carpet with her little frock tucked up behind, glancing round at the grown-up people with her large radiant black eyes like a little animal, evidently pleased that she was being admired. She smiled and, turning out her feet, energetically supported herself on her hands, drew her lower limbs forward, and then again advanced on her hands. But Dolly did not at all like the general atmosphere of the nursery, especially the English nurse, only by the fact that a nice woman would not have accepted a post in such an irregular household as Anna's, could Dolly explain to herself how Anna, with her knowledge of character, could have engaged for her little girl such an unpleasant and fast Englishwoman? Besides that, from a few words she heard, Dolly at once understood that Anna, the wet nurse, the head nurse, and the baby did not get on with one another, and that the mother's appearance was not as a usual occurrence. Anna wished to get the baby her toy and could not find it. But the most astonishing thing was that when asked how many teeth the baby had, Anna made a mistake and knew nothing of the two latest teeth. "I feel it hard sometimes that I am, as it were, superfluous here," said Anna, on leaving the nursery, lifting her train to avoid the toys that lay beside the door. "It was quite different with the first one." "I thought, on the contrary," said Dolly, timidly. "Oh, no, you know I have seen him, Sirza," said Anna, screwing up her eyes as if peering at something far off. "However, we will talk about that afterwards. Would you believe it? I am just like a starving woman to whom a full meal has been served, and who does not know what to begin on first. The full meal is you, and the talks I am going to have with you, and which I could not have with anyone else, and I don't know on what to begin first. Mais je ne vous ferai gré de rien. But I shall not let you off anything. I must speak out about everything. Yes, I must give you a sketch of the people you will meet here," she began. "I will begin with the woman, Princess Barbara. You know her, and I know your and Steva's opinion of her. Steva says the one aim of her life is to prove her superiority to Aunt Catherine Pavlovna. That is quite true, but she is kind, and I am very grateful to her. There was a moment in Petersburg when I needed a chaperone. Just then she turned up. Really, she is kind. She made my position much easier. I see you do not realize the difficulty of my position there in Petersburg," she added. "Here I am quite tranquil and happy, but about that later on. I must continue the list. Then there's Sviazhsky. He is a marshal of nobility and a very decent fellow, and he wants something from Alexis. You see, with his means, now that we have settled in the country, Alexis can have great influence. Then there is Tushkevich. You have met him. He was always with Betsy. Now he has been deposed and he has come to us. As Alexis says, he is one of those men who are very agreeable if one takes them for what they wish to appear, et puis il est comme il faut, and then he is good form. As the Princess Barbara says, then there's Veslovsky, you know him, he is a nice boy, she said, and a roguish smile puckered her lips. What outrageous affair was that with Levin? Veslovsky told Alexis, and we simply can't believe it. Il est très gentil et naïf, or he is very nice and naive. She added with the same smile, men need distraction, and Alexis needs an audience, so I value all this company. Things must be lively and amusing here, so that Alexis shall not wish for anything new. Then you will also see our steward. He is a German, very good, and knows his business. Alexis thinks highly of him. Then there's the doctor, a young man, not exactly a nihilist, but, you know, eats with his knife, but a very good doctor. Then there's the architect, un petit cour, a little court. End of the chapter. Thanks very much for listening to that one. I think there'll be a good discussion around that chapter. It had some interesting moments. I'll leave some discussion prompts over at the subreddit. I'll see you there, and I'll see you tomorrow.